there. Dave here along with Chris and Jordan. We are Dumb Money. So good to see you all with us this afternoon. So the big question, did we make a $12 million mistake on Monday? We are going to talk all about that, but first, if you don't mind, help the YouTube algorithm know that we're on right now. Smash the like button, say hi to us in the live chat, and I can tell you for myself, it wasn't a $12 million mistake because my piece of that was only like a million and a half.
Yeah, Dave. My piece is bigger.
A little bit.
A little bit bigger. Man, I'm really happy we're doing this show. I started thinking about this show last night. I went down a wormhole the last 24 hours doing a really, really deep dive into the vaccine data, yep. The Moderna vaccine data, which is the next to come up here very soon, probably maybe within a matter of days. I mean, I went really deep, guys, really, really, really deep. I going back and actually reading all the study data, going all the way back from earlier this year to Moderna, their whole history, understanding exactly how mRNA vaccines work, how the technology works, the disadvantages to them, the transporting, what are we really looking at here? And then I looked at every scenario that can possibly go wrong. Because, like, yeah. Guys, I borrowed $20 million. Sometimes we do things on margin, like, oh, by the way, we hit 200. Let's just start this thing out. Let's just do this.
Thanks, everybody, for hitting the 200. We don't need to do the whole song and dance. Let's just go right into this, because I did want to say that if you were digging deep into the data, there was a headline that I know you couldn't really dig into because it was out of Russia. But wouldn't you know it, just after Pfizer put out their 90% efficacy information, Russia said, well, no, we have one that's 92%. How much?
Do they? That's what I heard.
When was that? It was today. Was that? I don't have details on it, but it was mid afternoon. I heard about it.
It's their Sputnik vaccine.
Is that what they're calling it? Really?
100%.
Well, we did call ours Operation Warp Speed. So it's like everyone's trying to come up with like a catchy, marketable movie sound. This whole thing seems like it could have happened in a movie, right? Everything that's gone on in the past year seems like a movie that you would not have believed if the script had dropped on your desk, you would have never even finished it.
No, totally. And this is a movie. We're living a movie right now. And this is the final chapter. This is it. This is like the final.
This is act three. Are you saying this is act three of our three act story?
We're transitioning into act three, Dave. We're transitioning into act three. And you kind of think you know how act three is going to play out, but you're not 100% sure. And I so want to talk through this because I think what happened to me in the last 48 hours is something that every investor struggles with in their own way. You plan for something, you strategize on it, you run your scenarios like we've been saying. We were prepared and we put the trade on, right? And as soon as you put the trade on, some things happen that you just didn't quite expect to happen, right? And so we were well aware when we put this rebound vaccine trade on that we were investing for the next year, right? Not for the next week, not for the next month.
Yeah.
We were also very much aware that there was a guarantee that this pandemic is spiraling out of control and will continue to spiral out of control, not just for the next few weeks, but for the next few months. My mistake, and I think it's important when you think through this, you have to admit your mistakes. My mistake, it was not a $12 million mistake. I think it was a $6 million mistake. Because my mistake was thinking that this is so obvious how that had to have been factored in. The next few months has to be factored in. But what I realized over the past 24 hours is that as the election news started to kind of settle down and the pandemic news started to spin up, that investors were not fully pricing in having 3 to 4 months of hell in front of us, right? And what you saw was that they started to digest that, like, oh, this is actually happening. Like, they're starting to close down cities in the last 24 days. They're starting to put restrictions in.
24 hours.
No alcohol, restaurants after 10. Like, Yeah. Arizona, like they're place, they're talking about closed, shutting down
here
in various ways
and abroad. Multiple, we're not the first to hear this. It's happening in places all over the world.
All over the world. But Dave, Jordan, was there any, like, we've been so deep in this, and I think sometimes we're clouded. Our vision is clouded because it's so obvious to us that we make certain assumptions that this has to be obvious to the market, right? But
I mean, to be fair, I didn't make the trade, right? I bought a couple things that are actually I'm up in, but I didn't make the full trade because one, most of the move happened already, and then second of all, it's pretty early.
What do you mean most of the move happened? Most of the move relative to what? What do you mean
most of the early move, right? So I think, so what I was thinking is that this big move happened on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Way too big for basically some good news, but not, hey, we have a vaccine right now. Businesses can start getting going again right now. I mean, this thing, I knew that, yeah, this is good news, but it's going to take 6 months to totally play out, if not longer, before any of this stuff really starts impacting the revenue of companies.
Well, agree, but that doesn't bother me. The market always trades 6 months in advance. That's not an
issue
for me. But my issue, I think you are somewhat right. My issue is, Jordan, where I went wrong was I think we both think the same thing about 6 months. We're both on the same page. Like, I obviously know it's going to take 6 months or longer to play out. My issue was that in the short term, I assume that the market knew how nasty it was going to get in the short term. I don't think those stocks came down because they realized, wait, this is 6 months away. I think if the pandemic, if the numbers were just kind of normal the last couple of days and we didn't get all the big splashy headlines, I think those stocks would still be where they are were when they first popped. The issue is the news cycle accelerated on the pandemic globally. We're getting hit by news, every country, every state locally. And the warning signs, like, it's unbelievable. Now, none of this is a surprise to me, and I made a wrong assumption that it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But the reality is people are realizing, oh, this is really bad. Oh, this is like, we might shut down countries and cities. Like, and that, I think, is just the fear factor, right? This fear of not knowing how bad it's going to get. I kind of know how bad it's going to get. It's going to get crazy bad. That's what I'm thinking. But I don't think the rest of the market fully understood that. And now they're starting to kind of come to that conclusion.
But we have opposing forces here. So we had the market, you know, the stocks that we're talking about are these recovery stocks, things like cruise lines and airlines and hotels and the things that we know will eventually come back at some point. We can't really predict when. But when we heard that there's now a 90% effective vaccine right on the horizon, we know that it's going to get worse before it gets better. But because we knew that that was there, I didn't want to sit on the sidelines and not have some of these things that we know are eventually going to go up in my portfolio. I didn't buy options because I didn't have a time frame on it. But buying the stock of American Airlines at, you know, 80% off of what its highs were before this all happened, to me, is a good long-term thing to do. But I was very hesitant at the time going, I don't want to do this on the day that everything just went up 20%. I know it's going to come back down a little, but I also didn't want to miss it because what if it didn't come back down, you know? And these are stocks I'm not day trading. I'm these are kind of more long-term recovery stocks for me.
Yeah, it didn't bother me buying these things on a pop when I was confident that the market was not fully realizing what a 90% efficacy vaccine means for these companies.
Yes.
And in my head, I was like, once people digest that, they'll get closer to what their value is based on what it means for their future of these companies. That said, what I also didn't realize was the market. I've been thinking about this all summer. I've been thinking about the dark winter. Like, we've been talking about it. We had an episode on the dark winter. Like, we're so deep into this, but the market still doesn't believe how bad this pandemic can get this fall winter because they see people out. They're still out at restaurants. They're still out and about. And like until it hits us straight in the face that hospitals are filling up, which they are starting to now, and we're just barely scratching the surface, guys. You know that, right? We're still like 4 to 5, 6 weeks away,
yeah.
I think, from hitting our low point. And I think, is the scary part. So once I made that realization, once I made the realization that the market is behind on the short-term implications of this pandemic, this fall, winter, I realized that there was more short-term downside risk to a lot of these trades than I had anticipated when I got into the trade, okay, 2 days ago.
Here's what I wish that I had been thinking through a little bit more, because all of it makes sense, and I knew that this is probably not the time to buy, but these are long-term things to hold. Do you know what I should have done? Is bought some married puts along with the shares that I bought, or could do it now still, get some, what do they call it, protective puts if you do it after the fact. But, you know, my of all the stocks, and I posted all of this in our Discord channel before we even went on the air the other day when we talked about it. Let's see, let's put this up.
Yeah,
here's my spreadsheet of where I am. So I am down $96,000 from my entry points, the worst being Carnival Cruise Lines, which is down 13%, the best being American Airlines, which is up 3% from where I bought it, but overall down 7% on this $1.435 million. Basically, I went in on margin for all of that, so that's kind of where I sit. And I know your account is probably way more complicated, and you surely don't have any kind of organized spreadsheet.
If
but
you're down 7%, Dave, I had about $11 million in on the trade. So I'm going to assume that I'm down about 7%. So that's about 800,000. So, you know, in 24 hours, I'm down about 700,000 or 800,000 on that trade. Now, my account has done fine in other areas, right?
Yeah.
So my account,
well, and today Amazon today. Coming back, my account was up today too.
My net account was up today 100k, right? But all in up 100k, but those stocks in the last 24 hours, yesterday, mostly yesterday, and some extent today, were down about 800,000, right? So here's what I wish I would have done, and I have since adjusted. I wish that if knowing what I know right now. Now, obviously, knowing what I know right now, I wouldn't have bought any of them. But like having the foresight to realize that the market might not be fully aware of what's about to happen to us, and they're going to have to adjust as it's happening over the next few weeks, I wish I would have gone in at 5.5 million instead of 11. Okay? So what I did today was I cut my bounce back trades by half. I sold $5.5 million of them. Okay. I pretty much cut them across the board by 50%, more or less. All right. So I think I counted it up before the show, and I now have 5.5 million of those stocks, the stocks that we talked about 2 days ago. If you haven't seen that episode, you should watch it. We go over all those trades, right?
Now, did you do that across the board, or did you pick and choose? Did you say, I'm going to just cut the number of shares in half, or what?
I did it mostly, more or less across the board, okay, Dave? And so what I plan to do is to put that $5.5 million back into those stocks at some point in the next 60 days, okay, 60 to 90 days. I think I'm going to do it when I'm going to watch. Remember, Jordan, when we were watching these infection rate numbers, like, 10 times a day. I don't think we need to do that right now, but I think we need to keep a close eye on it a few times a day. And I think when we start to see it right before it gets to a plateau, okay, like right before the plateau, I think that's when I'm going to start to build back this position, right? So that would probably mark the time of peak fear when people are totally freaking out. But we're looking so closely at the numbers that we can see a deacceleration. When we start to see a deacceleration of the numbers getting slightly not as bad every day, right? They're still getting worse, but at a slower rate. That's when I'm going to start to pour on the other $5.5 million to build back into the $11 million post-vaccine, back to life, roaring 2020s.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to make $10 million because I think these stocks are going to double over the
next
year.
You went all in a little too early, which is exactly. I went in at a smaller amount. I didn't max out my margin, and I wanted to have a little bit in, but I know that I want to have more ammunition once we get the next wave of news or once we go down low enough, I'm like, well, I just really need to buy more Amazon, or, you know, whatever it is. I didn't want to be 100% margined.
I just bought my top three that didn't have a huge reaction that morning, right? I mean, they still were up, right? But they didn't go nuts. And I was like, you know what? I still like these, and I've been wanting to get at them anyway, so I bought them, and I'm actually up in all three of those stocks.
So listen, I think the important takeaway here, guys, and I want to talk about other scenarios, because there are other scenarios that we're going to talk about, every one of them right now today on this episode. But I think it's important for you to realize that I now have a scenario in my head. I have a plan. I have a plan for when I'm going to get back into this trade. I know what I'm looking for, okay? And I have a plan for when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it. So I'm not reacting in real time. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to put that move on. Now, Jordan, I know that you are not, I mean, I don't know how heavy you ultimately want to get in this trade, but do you see yourself getting into this trade heavier at some point in the future? If so, are there things that you're looking for? Is it similar to what I'm looking for? Are you going to wait longer to where we're kind of, maybe we're fully out of the worst and you know that for sure? Maybe there'll be a little less upside for you, but it'll be a little safer. What's your plan?
So my plan is, I mean, probably pretty similar to yours, unless I see a big flush out in a lot of these stocks. Like if I see like Wynn and Las Vegas Sands go down to where they're trading right before this news, I might just pick them up anyways, right? Because I don't see any news affecting them worse than what they already were. And we already know what's going to happen if we get Moderna good news, or if we get people starting to ship vaccines, those types of things. So, you know, if we were to see a little bit of a reaction in these things down a little bit more, I would just pick them up. I mean, I'm not going to wait.
Yeah, and guys,
I've already made about 10% of my trades, right? So I bought two of like the 10 trades, about 10% of the dollars. So my position will be about the same size as Dave's position in this.
Yeah, and I think
guys,
my,
and by the way,
ongoing
my position,
strategy.
People don't know what stocks we're talking about. Let me just refresh everyone that didn't see the episode 2 days ago. What we're talking about are our vaccine bounce back trades, the trades that we think are, in our world, the slam dunk for 2021 and to a certain extent 2022. So these are airlines, primarily Spirit for me and Dave, Southwest for Jordan. These are cruise lines, Carnival, Royal Caribbean. I think Dave has a different one as well.
I had Norwegian.
Norwegian. I also have a company called Spa World, which they basically manage the spas on the cruise ships. This is also broader travel, like Expedia, Booking.com, as well as Dave has Marriott, I think you said days ago, Dave.
Yep.
This is,
you know,
also
what stock I've actually added to mine that we didn't talk about, but did react really well to the news that I put in my COVID watch list?
What?
You're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. Lyft.
What? Oh. What, Lyft? I get it. Lyft. No, I don't think, no. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I think it's one I didn't trade, Jordan, but I don't hate it. I think it's a very sensible rebound stock next year. By the way, we didn't say Sabre is another one that we invested in.
Sabre is a huge one that if that one drops down into the, if I get a seven handle on that again, I will just buy it. I'll just buy it.
Yeah. And by the way, also, I also have Avis moving into entertainment, Live Nation, right? I also bought Diageo for liquor, and that's actually done pretty well the last day or so. So basically, our thesis is that we are next to a guarantee. And by the way, we're not financial advisors, so do not compy these trades. We don't know your risk tolerance, okay, guys? Well, this is not for you to trade. We just want you to see how we're thinking about this. You make your own decisions based on your research. Now, we think we're going to start the roaring 2020s next year. We think it's a near guarantee. We think people are going to party and drink and eat and socialize and go to concerts, live entertainment. They're going to travel the world. They're going to have bachelorette parties. They're going to have bachelor parties. They're going to have weddings. They're going to have wedding parties. They're going to be out and about. You're not going to be able to get a seat on an airplane for 2.5 years for less than $1,000, okay? Even when you're flying Spirit.
That's a little extreme. I don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't believe but I think we are headed.
I believe.
I think we are headed to a roaring 20s like you haven't seen it, but I don't see you spending $1,000 to ride on Spirit, because at that price point, Spirit Airlines, I would just I would rather not go than have to fly Spirit for $1,000.
You'd have to pay me. You are a travel snob.
I am a travel snob. Yes. If I have to fly more than, what was my rule? Basically, flying to London is the longest flight I'll go not in business class. And really,
that's pretty long.
To London.
You'll do a London. I wouldn't do a London flight not in business class. I've done it. It's not.
I've done it, and I would do it again.
I was on a 777 that has like the seven seats all in a row, and I swear I was in the very middle.
You know
seat.
What?
I thought I was gonna freak out.
Yeah, I don't do the seven in a row. No. What do they call that? That economy plus or something, where it's only like five in a row.
Yeah.
And if you get on the two side.
Yeah, if you get on the two side with an exit aisle, I think you can buy. You can spend more to get those. I might do that.
Yeah. No, I have that gold for life status on American, so I generally can get the section I want, and it is a little bit more, but it's way less than business class. But London is my absolute radius of maximum economy airline, and yeah, for sure, I need to lay down if I'm going further than that. That flight to Dubai, oh God. I going on a bench with seven other people to Dubai.
All right, I've got to go check on my Big Green Egg real quick. I'll be right
back. Go check on your Big Green Egg.
Which, by the way, we should tell everyone that Jordan, if you don't watch our original channel, Jordan is the ultimate when it comes to. I set up a scene for this. Look at that. I set up a scene where it's just you and me. Isn't that great? So we don't have the empty chair. But yes, he's a professional. Competition barbecue guy, and he has this Big Green Egg thing. This is so he's very serious about it.
Yeah, he it's no joke. Okay, so God, I do want to say, Dave, I want to talk about what happened. Also, part of the reason why these stocks came down was because the second they went up, they started raising money. Right, Carnival raised $1.2 billion. They announced they were going to basically just send shares into the market, which is diluting shareholders and also putting a lot of shares out there, a lot of supply. I think they were marking that at about $17.40 a share. American Airlines did the same thing. So that certainly didn't help the last couple of days. We have the dilutive fundraising. We have the news of the pandemic getting worse, which should not be a surprise to anybody, okay? But there's a lot of people out there that obviously they're deniers, and now they're seeing it get worse. They're trading the market down. So my bad. I made a mistake. I made an $11 million trade in those stocks we talked about. I cut it in half today. I only have $5.5 million. Guys, I'm only $13 million on margin right now. $12.5 million, $13 million on margin.
That just makes me nervous. Just even hearing that makes me nervous.
Well,
but I can't tell you my next move. So Jordan mentioned Lyft and Uber. There's like an ETF, and I can't think of the ticker right now, but it basically is all of these like transportation related stocks that includes Uber, Lyft, some airlines, some hotels, I believe. That might be my go-to the next time instead of picking and choosing. And then, for the airlines, I did find that one called Jets, which is basically all the commercial carriers lumped into one. Instead of trying to choose as American or... Is American going to do better than United? That's just like
right. Well, you can make that trade quicker too. Like instead of buying two, you just buy Jets.
Yeah, and it does have a fee. The cost to do it, I think, is like a 0.75% per year or something like that. But
if you're just doing it to like ride the wave up real quick until you figure out what you actually want to be in, then
I don't want to be in airlines for a long time anyway. But it's a quick, easy way to get in and out of a big sector like that.
Guys. We didn't mention we're also in the casino stocks, Caesars, Las Vegas Sands, and Wynn Casino, all three of them. I also shaved those by 50% today. But guys, I want to talk about some scenario analysis, okay? So let's talk about the casino stocks first. I did a lot of research the last few days, and it turns out that Macau, which is where they generate most of their revenue, is starting to loosen up standards, right? But not loosening it up enough to where they're anywhere near full capacity. I think they're down about 67% year over year this month in terms of revenue. So not horrific, but they're still down 67%.
Which one are you talking about?
Macau, the casinos, like Wynn and Las Vegas Sands, MGM. What we're looking at right now is does this virus start to expand to Asia, okay? Asia's been pretty good. If we start to see breakouts in Asia like we have here in the U.S., you could see me making some dramatic trades, okay, changes in my portfolio. I will sell Wynn and Las Vegas Sands immediately, okay, if it starts to hit Asia. If it doesn't hit Asia, I'll probably keep those positions in Wynn and LVS and probably double down on them as soon as we hit that bottom of the curve when we're starting to decelerate in terms of infection rate here in America. Now, the other big factor that we're dealing with right now, guys, we know we have the pandemic. We know we have infection rates. We're watching them closely. Let's see how bad it gets. Moderna, okay? Moderna is the other near duplicate vaccine to Pfizer, okay? It's about as close as you can get. There are definitely differences, but you could make a case that if Pfizer is at 90% plus, Moderna should be in that same kind of bracket, right? It should be somewhere between, you know, 85 and 95%. It could be as low as 75, 80, but they should have good results. Now, if they come out with bad results, guys, you know what it tells us? Maybe the Pfizer numbers were skewed, right? Maybe that was, they just got lucky. Maybe it was just statistical chance. And maybe the Pfizer really isn't a 90%. Maybe it's closer to a 70%. 75%, something that we were kind of anticipating. So that Moderna news is coming out in the next few days. They announced after market today that they have hit their interim endpoint where they can now announce what the results are. I don't know if we're going to get them tomorrow or Friday, but we might. If not, you know they're coming over the weekend. You know they're coming on Sunday night.
And I feel like it's going to be good news, but are you standing by with a trade in case it is bad news? Like, and even the Moderna stock itself is up 300% year to date.
I don't normally trade vaccine stocks. I do have some. But I will say this, Dave, this factored into my decision to cut by 50%, because I think if that news comes out bad, it will be, you know, pretty crushing for a lot of these bounce back stocks. However, you can't have it all. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't win every which way. Okay, you can hedge with options. You can do all that stuff absolutely, but I don't think we're gonna see this monstrous move in these stocks if they come out and say, "Hey, our vaccine is 90%." I think if they come out and say our vaccine is 70%, I don't think we're gonna see a monstrous move down either. So for me, it doesn't make sense to hedge with options because you're paying a lot of premium. You're probably not gonna get enough movement in all these bounce back stocks either way. So I just need to be at a comfortable level. Now, my level is different from yours, Dave, which is different from yours, Jordan, right? So I think the important thing for us is to understand the scenarios, understand the risk that comes with each scenario playing out. Moderna, if they come out with a 90%, it's gonna benefit these trades. If not, it could hurt these trades. But you just have to get that comfortable level, and there's no, you can't predict it, right?
Yeah.
But I spent so much time learning about these mRNA vaccines, man, and they are so complex. It's kind of cool, but also scary. Like they temporarily change like the DNA in your cells. Like it's wild.
Not your DNA, your RNA.
RNA in your cells, but which is a big deal. And they've been working on this for 20 years with the exception of just one vaccine. They're not really doing this yet. This is the first time we'll ever be doing this with tens to hundreds of millions to billions of people.
But I mean, there's been a ton of research on this, right? Because there are already treatments that people are working on that use this approach. It's just that they're using, they're just using a different section of the RNA code to produce a certain protein this time, right? Because, I follow cystic fibrosis, and they're using a very similar, one of the approaches uses a very similar technique because, you know, it's a transcribing issue in the cells, and you need to make a certain protein. And so they go in, they alter the RNA, and then, you know, it kicks up the right protein to the cell membrane.
It's something that you want to believe in, and I think so many have, but Moderna as a company has had a really sketchy past over the past 10, 15 years, right? They're so ultra secretive. They've lost a lot of talent, a lot of chief medical officers that have been rotating in and out of the company. Why? They've failed at a bunch of their trials. They failed, and then they moved into vaccines, which is super controversial because vaccines don't make a lot of money. They're kind of like a loss leader in the pharma world, right? So it's a controversial company. It's a controversial technology. Jordan, I agree with you. It has so much promise, and we've seen a little bit of it working, right, here and there, that you want to believe it works. And I'm walking away from my research going, I think it works. Like, I get it. It seems like it would work, but it still is so new, right? And, like, you just, there's always, like, a caveat. You don't really know 100% of what the risk factors are that it could be doing, right, until we get in a large population for a very long period of time. Also, I read into the side effects of Moderna's trial earlier on in phase one, and they're not terrible, but it's certainly more than a flu vaccine, okay? You're going to have potentially a fever, a headache for up to a week. In fact, I found a few people on Twitter searching for keywords last night that were in the trial talking about the side effects that they had being in the trial. And they were like, the first shot, not so bad. The second shot got a lot worse, and they've had, you know, symptoms for days, right? Like swollen, like really swollen, really badly swollen muscle tissue, headaches, you know, some fever, like all kinds of stuff. Nothing catastrophic, nothing to halt the trial, but it's certainly more than just getting a flu shot, right? And the way these things are transported at -80 or -90 Celsius, which is like over -100 degrees, guys, I research every cold storage company in the world, transport company, looking for one to invest in. They were pretty much all foreign, or the ones that are domestic or private. I mean, you could make a case that like Train can modify some of their boxes with dry ice to transport this stuff, but is that a needle mover for them? All these companies are Japanese, Korean, India. Like, I can't trade them here on unless I go to my global account, which is a big mess. I don't want to deal with that. And they're already up 10 to 50% on this news.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any trades there, because people have been asking about that. But
that is the way to think, though. As soon as I heard that that there was a cold requirement, that it had to be colder than normal refrigeration, normal freezer, that's the first thing that went through my head. But I couldn't find anything either that made a, you know, made sense as an investment.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep searching. People are dropping tickers here, like CYRX. I mean, I'm happy to look into them, but CryptoPort, it's not really moving that much. So, like, you know, it is moving actually in the last month. I'll check them out, but I don't know, guys. I feel like there's a scenario here that's super dependent upon this new vaccine, like this Moderna results. If they come out at 90%, I might edge back in 10% more into the position, okay? Just edge in, right? And then I'll just kind of wait. Now, depending on how bad the pandemic gets the next 4 to 6 weeks is going to determine, right, the degree which maybe I'll probably not going to sell anymore, but I might start to get back in, right? Like when I see it kind of at its lowest levels and it starts to decelerate. Because you know how these things are. People don't take it seriously until it gets really bad. Then they stay home, they social distance, restaurants kind of close up, and then it gets better, right? And I feel like if we can get through one more of those cycles, we're in the clear, right? First respondents are going to get this thing in December. The rest of the world starts January, February. We'll have potentially hundreds of millions of doses in Q1, early Q2. And we're off to the races, right? Like the market's going to be pricing that in at that point. I think at that point, it's probably too late to invest in a lot of these rebound stocks. I think we have to hit them right at that deacceleration of bad news.
Yeah, yeah. And
probably around Thanksgiving, Christmas.
What kind of market signals or headlines or what are you looking for? Like, what is going to be that point where you're like, okay, well, it's gotten as bad as it, it's not gotten as bad as it will get, but it's gotten as bad as the market is going to be pricing in. Let me jump in because I now heard this headline on the Today Show.
I think I'm not looking at headlines. I'm only looking at the infection rate numbers, right? So if you just look at the infection rate numbers, obviously the death and the ICU capacity follows that. So Jordan, or is it about 3 to 4 weeks behind? Is that what we saw last time? About a good month behind? So I think the big question is, do we throw the other 5.5 million in when the infection rate data starts to peak and level out? Or do we wait for the death rate data to peak and level out? And I don't have the answer for that question yet. And I don't think I have to answer that question for at least a few weeks, because I don't think we're going to get to even the first one of infection data leveling out. Right. But when
we do have deaths starting to pick up already. you know, along with...
they're definitely picking up. Yeah. The last 72 hours, they're picking up dramatically. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I even saw in Sweden even, did you see that news story where they're talking about, like, you can't drink after 10 p.m.? And Sweden's been very all... They're just like, hey, do whatever you want. And for them to say that... Have you seen Sweden's numbers, by the way, this week? They're insane.
Yeah.
They're insane. Like, some of these European countries are getting slaughtered right now. What is that, Jordan? Is that...
I just pulled up the chart. You're looking at a delay, I think.
Oh,
yeah, that's that was U.S. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so someone said death rates, Sam 9539, death rates are getting lower versus infection rate. Yes, they are. They also did this summer. And that's a great thing. But lower isn't nothing, right? So if death rates are lower per infection rate by 20 or 30%, that's awesome. But it's not enough if the infection rate ends up being triple or quadruple the previous peak, right? So if we get an infection rate that's, let's say, triple or quadruple the previous peak, which is possible, right, in the next month and mm-hmm. a half, even if the death rate is down 20 to 30%, it's still going to be way higher than the previous peak, right? So we could be in for some really tough times. And it's really hard to say how the market reacts to that. I would think that it's all priced in because in my mind, it already happened.
Yeah, we've already seen it once, and we've already seen it hit lows, and so we kind of know what is the lowest point that this stock can go. We've kind of feel like we've seen that, right? And now that we have a vaccine on the horizon, it's not going to get back to its lowest point. It's going to get kind of where it is right now. That's why I went ahead and bought in. But go ahead.
Sweetie B says France hospitalizations may be stabilizing. Okay, and I read that comment because it brings up a good point. We should be looking to Europe right now.
Yes.
Like, if we're trying to figure out what to expect here in a fall winter pandemic spike, it's happening in Europe a little bit sooner than it is here, right? Maybe because of weather, maybe because of some other factors in terms of when they go back into school. But it certainly seems to have been spiking there before it started to spike here. So I will be keeping a close eye on Europe. And if things start to settle there, I'm going to assume that we can build a time frame for when they would start to level out here. But I think we've always talked about this. When it comes to the last big trade of the pandemic, and we've had so many big trades, it's really less about what we're investing in than when we make the investment and how large it is. So it's not a matter of whether we invest in Southwest Airlines or Spirit or Marriott or Expedia, right? Or Carnival or RCL. It's real, or Wynn or LVS. It's really more about when do we put the trade on, right?
Yeah, so I want to go back to the when things level out, because we have a couple of super spreader events that are about to go down here in America. And those are major holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas, where people get together and do things. We're not doing anything for Thanksgiving. We're just hanging out with our, you know, own local family. But I've talked to friends, and they're doing stuff with their extended families.
Yeah, but is that a bigger super spreader than just all these people that have been going gangbusters at restaurants and kids sports and like all that stuff in school?
Yeah, what worries me is you're going to have, you get young and old together, right? And so you get all the kids that have been in school and they seem fine, but then they're carrying it, right? They're carriers, but then they get, and the grandparents want to give them a hug and a kiss, and then all of a sudden that can turn into a really bad situation.
Yeah, and there's also the concern from the college kids coming back.
Yeah, sure. College kids coming back. Yeah, that's another one. That's a good call, Dave. I just want to keep my eyes open this Thanksgiving to see how it. I mean, Thanksgiving's the trial run for Christmas as far as how this thing's going to react.
All right, Jordan, that's a good point. If it gets really nasty, like really, really nasty post Thanksgiving, not because of the infection rate going up, but who's getting infected, right?
Yeah.
It's more about who's getting infected, because the infection rate could skyrocket with 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, but if it even goes up 50% with people over the age of 60 or 70,
man,
that's
it could get bad.
Yeah,
real bad. All right, I've got to check on my egg real quick.
You just checked on it.
No, he has to check on it frequently. This is.
We will talk about Suburban Propane Partners, guys. That's going to happen before the end of the episode. I know they have earnings tomorrow morning. I spent some time on them today.
Yeah, Chris, I do have this chart. This is from the New York Times, just showing kind of the trends in various countries. And you can see there at the top left, that's Switzerland spiking up at the most recent day there. Austria, France, Poland, Italy, Portugal. That's the top row if you're unable to read how small these are. But there's definitely a crazy outbreak in a bunch of countries.
Yeah, it probably, and it closely follows the weather as well, right? So fortunately, it looks like it's a moderately warm November here. I mean, not super warm, but I don't see any super big cold snaps coming in the next 2 weeks, which is potentially a positive. We can keep people outside versus inside. But listen, guys, that's the trade. Bottom line is we made a mistake. I made a mistake in that I misjudged the degree to which people were factoring in bad pending news on the pandemic. And as the news started to hit over the last 36 hours, I'm seeing a signal that people aren't factoring in that news to the degree that I thought they were, okay? To the degree that I was.
And I'm going to go on record as saying I didn't make a mistake. I did exactly what I intended to do and got in with the right amount and didn't have to backtrack and sell half of it the next day. And yes, my stocks will go down, but I wanted to get in before anyone else.
Yeah, and Jordan felt the same way. But listen, I think it's really important that when you see that you misjudged anything, because if we're running scenarios and a scenario starts to play out, but then what we thought would happen as a result of that scenario doesn't play out exactly perfectly, you have to assess that and you have to make adjustments. So I am not going to be like, hey, we did this big thing. I had so much conviction in this trade. I'm going to stick with it. No, I'm seeing something that I missed, and I'm going to make an adjustment to my account because of it, okay? And so I did that today. It was a pretty big adjustment. It was a 50% adjustment on what was one of the biggest trades of the year for me. And I now have a new plan. And you know what? That new plan might be perfect. I might be missing something. But I have a plan, and we're going to let it play out, and we'll see what happens. Okay.
I think the biggest thing is you're not married to your initial plan. You're constantly reading. That's something about you, Chris, is that you just work and work and work, and you're always going to read and try to figure out if the plan that you've got is the right plan. So you can either stay with it or adjust it.
Well, you have to be your own devil's advocate. The thing that keeps me up at night, like last night when I was researching vaccine data, trying to figure out the likelihood that Moderna would have good or bad results, I was trying to see what other people weren't seeing. Look past the headlines. What am I missing? What's going to screw me? Like if something's going to screw me, I want to know what it is, try to figure out what the likelihood of it screwing me is, and then make a decision. I don't want to screw me because I was lazy, okay? Or because I just didn't want to believe that that thing could screw me. So you have to be honest with yourself. There are risks in this trade. There are still big risks in this trade. But I want to understand them. And that way, when they play out, I'm not surprised, at least, right? I don't want to be surprised by it.
Absolutely.
So that's it, guys. By the way, let's talk a little bit about, we have Suburban Propane Partners earnings tomorrow morning. And I did spend some time on them today. I shaved a little bit off my SPH position. I actually sold a bunch of stock and then I bought some call options to replace most of the stock that I sold, but to kind of take some of the risk off the table, I bought some 17.5 calls. All the data, guys, if you were to pull up right now, propane, what do they call it? Propane by me or whatever, or what's the tag?
Propane near me is what people search for.
Propane near me. Or just propane gas or whatever, like you will see it is accelerating into this week. Like the data looks really good, but that is mostly retail kind of consumers looking for propane. If you dive in deeper into the research, you'll see that agriculture propane is down a little bit, okay? So that's a net negative for SPH. So the agriculture propane's down a little bit. The commercial propane, this summer, for the period that they're gonna report on, might be down a little bit. You'd be like, Chris, why is it the commercial down? Well, here's why. You gotta, when I say commercial, selling to restaurants and stuff, there are people that use propane to cook at barbecue places and all kinds of stuff, right? And a lot of these places did less business, not more business this summer, okay? Now, let's talk about a positive that we didn't even talk about in our initial episode on Suburban Propane Partners. Do you know what I think is up this summer, guys? People heat their pools. You notice people heat pools and hot tubs with propane sometimes. So I wasn't aware of that. But I was able to find information related to an uptick in propane usage for heating pools. Because what was the biggest trend of the summer? Outdoors, pools. You look at, like, pools were through the roof this summer, right? You look at the sticker pool, the ticker pool, right? For one of the largest pool manufacturers and equipment makers. They're through the roof. They're up like 400%. So they probably benefited from that this summer. We know they benefited from outdoor cooking this summer, right? People cooking on grills and all that stuff. But they might still have a dent in the commercial business. And now that we're going into the fall and the winter, how much are they going to talk about the weather not being as cold as they would like it to be this next month, right? Yeah. And that being a concern. I don't know. So there's still some question marks tomorrow. That I feel pretty good about SPH tomorrow, but not so good that I want $1 million on it, right? So I have like 350K in the stock right now, down from 650K, and I have about 50K in call options. So that's what I have on SPH. And I also have UGI too, which is a competitor that just deals with a lot of things, but mainly propane tank. The thing that affects this trade is the propane tank. Propane tank switching, like distribution and switching out. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. It's going to be an exciting morning. I've been in this trade, you know.
It's one that I completely avoided. Are you going to live stream it?
No. It's Suburban Propane Partner Conference.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning. He won't even be awake yet.
I wouldn't be live streaming it. That's why I'm asking you. Are you going to be on your phone from your bed? Talking to people on Periscope or something.
I'm also in Suburban Propane. And you know what we got today, Chris? We got some cash from Suburban Propane.
That was a dividend day?
Did we get our dividend check?
It's a partnership distribution. Yeah.
Wait, did they send you a check in the mail?
No. It just shows up in your account like a dividend does.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some cash in my account from it. It's awesome.
I figured you'd like that because it's a 9%. Like, everyone's complaining they cut their distribution in half.
Still huge. But it's
9%. Like, yeah. The knock on these guys and everybody in the propane business is that it's been in secular downturn for 7, 8, 9 years, right?
Yeah.
So these stocks used to trade 2-3x where they are. One of them's almost out of business. They keep cutting the dividend, right? So it's in a secular downturn. So the 9% is nice, but not if the stock goes down by 50, 60, 70%. So you have to believe that the secular downturn is not going to continue. And we need a cold winter, guys. I mean, I've been saying it 100 times over. SPH needs a cold winter. I don't love what I'm seeing this week in terms of temperatures this week, next week. And again, people think, oh, but Chris, it won't stop people from using heaters at restaurants. I know that, but a lot of their business is heating houses. You know, they serve 1 million customers at SPH. And a lot of their business is how much propane is being used to heat homes. And if it's not cold, people are using less propane. Fortunately, we had a reasonably cold October. We had that big Midwestern cold snap that lasted for a week, remember?
Yeah.
That was a positive. So
You don't listen to my Farmer's Almanac report, but I've been looking for alternative data sources for you and came up with National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration saying that it's going to be cooler in the north but warmer in the south.
See, here's the problem, Dave.
This is what you're looking for. You're looking for these kind of whiteout conditions.
Yeah, Dave, I have been trading weather for 10 years, and I always look at these reports before, you know, the winter comes around, And they're right 50% of the time. Like, no matter, it doesn't matter where the report comes out. It could be your farmer's almanac. It could be that the weather, the best weather experts anywhere, no matter what they say, I don't know, occasionally they're right. About the same amount of time they're wrong. So I don't even really listen to them. I just kind of, I watch the long range forecast 2-3 weeks out. That's usually pretty correct for what, for temperature, if nothing else, right? And so I just keep my eye on that. And right now it's not awesome.
Yeah.
It's really not.
In general, I look at this map and say, oh, there's more orange than blue. It's not going to be a super cold winter. But it could be wrong.
But they don't know what they're talking about, Dave. They're just making stuff up. It's kind of like people that say the stock market, the economy is going to do this next year, or the whole stock. They're just statistically not correct. So why do we keep listening to them?
Well, there is a little more science around weather forecasting than there is stock predicting, right?
Not when it comes to long range. Hasn't been proven that long range weather forecasting is equally wrong as long range investment forecasting, like at a macro level? Like it's not.
You're right.
Correct. I wish it was, because it would make things so easy to trade. But
I've done some research on this, and I think 5 days is the most that they can get somewhat right. And then after that, it's totally.
Yeah, even with hurricanes, the spaghetti map showing all the different directions a hurricane could go. That's always just, why are you even drawing those lines? Yeah, I get it. You want to be as prepared as you can, but.
Yeah. This is a fun fact, but like, you've heard of like the butterfly effect, where like a butterfly flapping his wings affects like the snow in the Himalayas or whatever. Like,
yeah.
So what they're talking about isn't the world. It's not real life. They're talking about models, right? So these models that they run on like supercomputers are so complicated, and so they interact so much that the initial conditions that you set, if you change them by just the tiniest amount, it has a huge effect on these weather models. And so that's kind of where that stuff comes from.
By the way, have you seen this hurricane that's about to hit Florida again? Probably as a tropical storm by the time it hits tonight, but still, it's going to hit Tampa, which is a reasonably populated city. And it's a city that doesn't really get hit by hurricanes that often. So I think we're probably going to see some pretty major power outages. If you notice, guys, one of our big, big holdings, Generac, was up again today. God, Generac just can't lose right now. It's like you hit this city, then you hit this city. Give them their power outage. Give them their power. How about fires raging through, cutting out power? How about, what's that thing, that the hurricane in the middle of the country that hit a month and a half ago? What that was called? Dude, Generac cannot lose right now. Are we going to get blizzards now this winter? Like, it's unreal. I hate it for the people that are suffering, but man, Generac is killing it. Killing it.
True.
So I haven't sold any of my Generac, guys. That's when I had to come up with some cash. That's the one thing I just didn't want to sell any, because I feel it's such a stable stock right now, and they keep getting more of a tailwind every time they get a new storm like this. All right, what else? What else, guys? What are we missing? Any questions?
Anything in the chat that we need to talk about?
Jericho. What do you got?
Generac controls the weather, ? Yeah, they probably do. Derecho, there's a word that we haven't heard in a while.
Derecho, that's an inland hurricane.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Well, not cool if you were hit by the derecho. Not at
How
all.
How cool is the concept of it? Concept. By the way, guys, I do want to tell you, we've been doing a lot of election stuff the last few weeks, a lot of Pokemon stuff, and now we're doing a lot of like big macro, like post-pandemic trades. And listen, we do what we're trading. That's what the show's about. But we do have like a whole, like we're backed up with really cool episodes that we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks on just individual companies that we're doing deep dive social arb research on.
Neo is
one. We're going to bring people from the community on. In fact, Dave, you know, we're airing an episode later today or tomorrow on the OG channel, if you guys haven't subscribed to just our regular Dumb Money channel, not Dumb Money Live, but just Dumb Money. that has one of our community members. He's getting his own episode, basically,
nice.
On that channel, the one we had on.
That's great.
About a few weeks ago. So having a really cool cut episode of him. Be sure to watch that. We're going to try to feature at least like one community member every 1 to 2 weeks on the channel. Okay, guys? And we'll start building out and crediting people for all the good work that you guys are doing on Discord, which we really appreciate. All right, I don't think there's a whole lot of questions. I'm so worn out. I didn't sleep last night. I've been researching vaccines. I'm stressed out because I lost a lot of money yesterday.
It's never good.
I had to make a major correction to my account. It's not been a relaxed week. Let's put it that way.
Well, at least you don't have to pay commissions. Remember when you used to overtrade and in addition to losing real money with what your trades were, you had to pay like $300 in commissions just for the privilege of trading stocks?
Yeah, I remember, dude, like yesterday. I did not sell Crocs, guys. I'm still shorting Kodak. Yes, I am. I'm shorting Kodak and I'm shorting Nikola. Those are my only two shorts that I have right now is Nikola and Kodak.
Man, your Nikola short got crushed today then.
Yeah,
they're
why?
Up, like, they're up like 10%. I have no idea.
I don't care because, I mean, I'm going to keep that short out of spite. It's a spite short. I'm going to keep it. Okay? Until I think there's nothing left in it. And, if GM formalizes their deal with Nikola, I'll probably sell it, guys. I'll probably cover it. If GM comes out and says, hey, we are going to do our big deal with them, I'll probably cover. It's weird they haven't announced that yet, right?
It is a little weird that we haven't really had any update on that.
Is that good news or bad news? Maybe it's good news because if they're working on it this long, maybe they are legit trying to work out a deal.
Possible.
It's a deal. I don't know. Teladoc. I thought I sold my Teladoc, but I didn't. I actually still have my Teladoc. It's more of a longer-term holding, guys. And, as long as there's a pandemic, we'll probably do well. Can you tell I got no energy left in me, guys?
No, you're doing great. We could just keep going for hours. No, we shouldn't do that. We should remind everyone to hit the like button.
Someone did an awesome Funko trade in our community. I read about it. I did not get in on the Funko trade. But we will cover that. We'll probably cover Funko in the next week as well. We are going to cover Tattoo Chef. We definitely 1000% are doing a shrooms episode. And let me tell you something about this episode. I didn't tell you guys this yet.
I don't know. Did you find some product?
No. Next best thing. We are going to feature, I'm not going to say who, multiple people on our shrooms episode that have fully experienced shrooms. It has changed their life. And they're going to come on and talk about it because I think how do you do an episode on shrooms being this miracle cure for depression and all this stuff with and just speak about it through like research? You can't do that, right? You got to have people.
No, firsthand account.
That have actually gone through that. I haven't. Have you, Dave? I don't know. I've never shroomed. Have you? Have you guys?
I mean, have you never been to a Widespread Panic concert?
I have
Boomers
not.
And Widespread. Come on. Boomers and
no,
Widespread.
No, I think I did go to a Widespread Panic concert, but I did not. I didn't do it. I wasn't sober, but I wasn't shrooming either. So we're going to bring on one or two people that have had a life-changing experience, and they could speak firsthand about the power of this psychedelic drug that could end up being... It could end up being like the magic thing, the magic cure-all for a lot of devastating, just forget, we don't need a lot of devastating diseases, depression, just that. That one disease, that one thing, that one ailment, that market is monstrously big. And that's why I made the investment. Jordan, did you get in yet? And what's the name of the company?
Compass.
What's the name of the company?
Compass, yep. Are you in yet?
No, I am not in. I should buy it. I can't buy it right now.
I'm in. So that's coming.
What's the symbol? What's the symbol on that?
CMPS.
Compass Pathways.
Yes, sir.
Yep. PLC.
$36.
Unispawn ADR. Oh, this is like a brand new stock. It barely even has a chart.
Yeah. Well, That's the problem. It's older than I don't understand TD Ameritrade because, like, if I go to the 1 month chart, it just shows nothing. Like, it just shows one bar.
Yeah. Like this looks like
it's been
September 18th is the first day that it shows up, but it's an ADR, and who knows? It could have had a switchover from some other symbol or something.
It's an ADR.
Yeah.
Really? You know
PLC.
You know
so
how
it must
they
be...
do. You know how they do their trials? It's so crazy. You actually go and you shroom in a room with like a registered nurse and a doctor, and they like literally guide you through, and they're there through the process, and you're in this. It's crazy, and it's
I would
like
I want to do that. I would want to shroom in my backyard with like some Bob Marley music.
You don't want to do it in a clinical setting?
No.
See, that's
like, seems really way more fun to do
outside.
It in a non-clinical setting.
Yeah.
You know what's so fun? I actually, if I did this, and I don't want to do it, I don't have any need for it, so I probably never will, but if I did have a need for it, I would want to do it in the clinical setting. I love the idea.
I think if you're going to do like some
there.
Other psychedelics, you might want to be in a clinical setting or a controlled environment of some sort.
I love the idea of having people there who their job is just to bring you through that process in the most clinical, safest way. And not having like your random friend who's like, I got your back, dude. Don't worry. You know what I'm saying?
No, you want a dozen friends. You want music. You want some food. That's how you want to do it.
Yeah, if it goes well, but what if it goes bad? And then your friends start messing with you and making it worse? Can you trust them? Could you trust
who are your
friends?
Does it ever go
Would
bad?
Would you trust our friends?
I think you'd be fine, Chris. We might have to have an experiment. A socially distanced backyard experiment.
It's a drug I have no interest in. I just have never had any interest. I don't like feeling that out of control. It's just, I have no interest in it.
You just laugh.
Someday, maybe. I don't know.
Fear and loathing and dumb money. We could live stream the whole thing. It'd be fantastic. I was looking to see if I could figure out the country and like actual foreign exchange to get a longer term stock chart on that, but I can't find a compass
then,
pathways that is a.
But
in
here's
a
the thing.
Country.
On the other hand, there are people that I talk to in our close little world. Some of them professionally, some of them in our friend, who are like, it is the greatest, it's a life-changing experience. But I feel like I don't need a life-changing experience. I love my life right now. I love exactly how it is right now. I don't want it to change. What if it changes for the worse?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't be a permanent change. It's just a
it does,
temporary...
It permanently changes your brain. That's the whole... That's how it works. The people that are on... That are terminally ill, depressed... And terminally ill, depressed, that no depressing drug, no drugs work for them. Nothing works for them. One session with shrooms, one session, and I'm not gonna get too deep into this, we're gonna have a whole episode on this.
We need to have
one session changes their brain and allows them to, it completely resets the way they think about life and the way they think about their daily life, and it cures them. It's just unreal. Like some of the data that's coming out of this trial is just unreal. But I like to think I just don't need that. I don't need to rewire myself yet. At some point, maybe.
At some point, you just need a hard reset.
Maybe.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today, right? We've really gone down a rabbit hole on this one. If you like our shrooms talk, hit the like button before you go. Do be sure you subscribe. Hit the bell on your way out to make sure you know when we're on. If we ever have our shrooms live party, subscribe
but
to my
Dave,
other channel. Hey there,
talk...
Dave here.
No, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
I
we
wore
should...
this shirt as a reminder to before we end the episode, you got to talk about the Apple event yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Did you buy a computer, Dave?
No, I haven't. I've been researching, trying to find actual data on how fast the M1 chip is, because all the comparisons they give are to the previous generation of MacBook Pro, or, you know, it's like five times faster than that. But the previous generation of MacBook Pro is slower than what I have, because the 13-inch MacBook Pro was not that fast, and I have the top-of-the-line MacBook Pro 16, which has the fastest graphics card and all of these things. So I was trying to find out
I thought you had the overheater special.
Oh, it definitely overheats, but that's just a problem. And I know that I'm hitting like throttling because of the overheating, and I think the M1 would benefit me there. I'm going to have to just buy one and try it because I don't think I can wait until, like, it's going to be the 11th now. They ship the 17th. We probably won't see an online review until the 18th of, like, speed test.
You could trade in your 15, can't you?
I can, but I spent $5,000 on it, and it's currently worth $1,200 through their recycle program.
Hold on. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Yes?
Breaking market news. U.S. President Trump, all caps, we will win, exclamation point. I'm not joking.
Is that news? Are we still listening to him?
Is he playing bocce ball? What's going on?
At least three times in the last 2 or 3 days. But okay, Dave, when you guys were texting about that event, you got me so excited. Like, you were so excited about it.
It is so exciting.
I was driving my car.
Yeah.
I pulled over and called Dave, and just I want you guys to know from an investment standpoint, we always bring it back to the investment. I just said I had one question for you. I said, Dave, are they talking about anything that was not known or expected prior to the event by the world at large? And you said no.
I said they didn't. They did not announce anything that we were not expecting. So from an investing standpoint, I was not buying stock. Although I really don't know if the rest of the investing world is in tune to the Apple rumors. I think this could be huge for them. We know that from their last earnings report, Apple had a 20% increase in sales for the Mac lineup, and that is just kind of unheard of, while iPhone is trending down. And it's not trending down in total iPhones, but it's just trending down in sales because people are holding their iPhones longer, right? So the number of iPhones in the world continues to increase, but the sales of each and every line, you know, they come up with a new iPhone every year, and people are tending to hold their iPhone for more than one cycle, right? So that's the news there. But as far as announcements during this event, the one thing that I was not expecting was a Mac Mini to be announced. I kind of figured that they would do that, although it wasn't something that was widely discussed in advance, right? So the rumor sites weren't really talking about the Mac Mini, but the Mac Mini with an M1 chip, it was not really an M1, it was an A14X, I believe, which is the one that's it's like a different version of the Apple chip that they have in the iPhones. That is what they put into a Mac Mini to give to developers to get their software ready for the switchover from Intel to Mac. So people did have access to that, and the fact that they just threw it into a Mac Mini, and that Mac Mini just does not have its own separate graphics GPU processor. It's always an integrated processor. That made me just kind of think that it makes natural sense that they would come out with a Mac Mini that had the M1, but that was not expected. Everything else was expected. What was not expected were the stats. So we were thinking that we're going to get one or the other. We're going to get a giant increase in performance and battery life will be about the same, or a giant increase in battery life because of the thermals of these chips. We'll let the battery run twice as long and get the performance to be about the same, right? We were expecting one or the other. We got both. And that was kind of the unexpected. But the products that they announced were completely expected, right? And the main thing that I'm disappointed is that we didn't get a MacBook 16, but there was no expectation of that.
And also they left some gaps in the product features that are irritating a lot of people, like not offering enough RAM or enough storage or things that would just like Apple does that to annoy people on Gen 1.
I think the storage thing
or it could be. I mean, so you've also got to realize it's a new chip set, and so they might not have it to where it can address that much RAM space
yet. That is
so
true for the RAM. The memory is actually built into they're calling it a system on chip. It's basically the entire everything is just crammed into one tiny chip now, including the RAM and the processor, which includes both the GPU and CPU. And the CPU is divided into like turbo fast and some everyday use kind of CPU. I can't remember the names, but basically it's awesome CPU and slower, but almost doesn't even touch your battery kind of CPU. And then it also has this neural engine for machine learning, this whole 16-core machine learning thing that we've never really had on a computer before. So this is like, it's kind of groundbreaking stuff. I kind of want to get one just to hit render on a video and watch my $5,000 computer compete with a $1,200 computer. But I'm sure that that will be done on YouTube, so I'll just be watching for MKBHD.
We can do that on YouTube right here, Dave. We are YouTube. Let's do that.
Oh, we are YouTube. Oh my gosh, I just realized we're on YouTube right now. No.
Oh, by the way, I do need to say one thing. I'm sure it's not ready yet because I haven't talked to you about this, Dave, but Patrick said that there are 125 extra books, my old book, Laughing at Wall Street, that he was mailing out.
Yeah.
He's literally doing like the last few books this week, and he says he has 125 left. Would you be able to open up that page so people can request them, and the first 125 people that want a free book will mail it to them?
I will. Let me see what I did with that page. Let me see what kind of state that page
is in. Okay, guys, so for those of you who don't know, we've given away a few thousand of my old books. It's 10 years old, Laughing at Wall Street. It's about social arb investing. I put my heart and soul in this book a decade ago. I had a whole bunch of promo copies left over. I had them in storage, and I decided to give them out to the community. They are now finally all mailed out, but there's like 125 left. So we closed off the request form a couple months ago because we thought we had too many requests compared to how many books we have. But now that we're pretty much done mailing them, we do have a few left. So if you want one, if you live in the United States domestically, not in Hawaii, not in Alaska, but in the domestic U.S. 48 continental states, we will mail one to you completely for free. It's a $25 book from 10 years ago. It's a hardback. I do it because I just want to get this into the world. And all I ask for is that if you enjoy the book, maybe leave a nice review on Amazon and then give it to a friend or a family member. Or I don't care if you want to sell it on Amazon, sell it on Amazon. But we're paying to mail them out. It's just something that we want to do to spread the word on social arb investing. So I don't know if Dave was able to open the form yet. If he was,
I'm doing it right now. We will have it. It's going to be a different address, though. So if you go to dumbmoney.tv/book, you can buy the book. I redirect you to Amazon because I thought that would be helpful to all the people who, because we've been giving that address out for forever. And so people who are looking for the book can find it there. Let me see. So I just added address, city, state, and zip code. And let's make sure this form actually works because that would be annoying.
Name. And by the way, we're not going to use this for other stuff. This is literally just if you want the book, we send out the names to my buddy and he mails them off to you. So if it works, we will give you an address and you could do it right now, but only the first 125 people, or because that's all the books we got left. I only kept like 10 of them for me personally, so I literally am down to like 10 personal copies of my old book.
And this is really going to be good because we have 1,000 people watching right now, so we'll probably give them away all during this.
Yeah, guys, and like I said, if the holidays are coming, so even if you've already read my book and you've lost it or given it, if you want this and you want to give it to someone that you know, awesome, absolutely awesome. All I ask for is if you like it, you know, leave me a review, put it on social media.
Okay,
nice.
So the form is back up. It does say at the top it says we're out of books, but you guys know that we actually have books. And if you go to dumbmoney.tv/bookform, one word, I'll just put it in the live chat right there. Then
and the book is Laughing at Wall Street, guys. So if you want to check out the book before you request it, you can go. It's Laughing at Wall Street. Google it. Go on Amazon. You can read about it, all the reviews.
This is the form you're looking for, and you basically just fill it out, and you can tell us how you found us and all that good stuff, too. Oh, look, I'm asking for your name twice. Just put it in all the places that we need it. You're good. All right.
And we'll get those mailed out. They're probably going to be mailed out next week, because our good friend who's helping us with this project, I think his wife probably wants these books out of his garage. I finally got them out of my garage. So yeah.
You had them in like public storage kind of thing for years.
I had them in storage.
You
then
paid
I had them
so
in my
much
garage.
Money for these books.
At one
and you
point,
actually paid
were...
you paid cash for these books back in the day. You bought them from the publisher so that you could give them away.
So here's what happens: is if you guys want to know what happens when you publish a book, you actually they sell hardbacks for a certain amount of time, and then they go to softbacks. So when they go to softbacks, the publisher says, "Hey, we're about to sell the hardbacks out of our warehouse to a to another like holding company that buys these books, and then they will sell them on Amazon." But we sell them for like super discount. But when we do that, if you, the author gets first right of refusal to buy those books. So I was like, no, don't sell them to a random Amazon seller. Like, no, I want them. So I literally bought a couple thousand of these things, put them in a storage shed, thinking I would give them away at conferences and stuff. I did that a few times, but Dave, you know how
you overestimated
money?
The demand for your book, didn't you?
No, it's not. It wasn't demand because I never offered to do anything with them other than when I would carry them to a conference. But
yeah.
It
oh,
was
and
so heavy.
I've been with you to a conference to get through airport security with a giant box of books, which these are heavy hardcover books, and the box doesn't even hold that many. Like a giant heavy box, a 50-pound box holds, yeah, 24 books.
Yeah. So it's... It's so insane that I got so tired of taking these to conferences, I would just kind of stop. It was too much work. But I've been paying like $180 a month, $200 a month for that storage shed. For you know how many years, Dave?
How many?
10 years.
Oh,
10 years. 20-something thousand dollars over 10 years. Do you know how much money I could have turned that money into with my returns? That's like $500,000 storage shed for me. Maybe $1 million. I don't know. Is that insane to think about that?
I mean, I love like, that that's how you always think about like every dollar you spend is like, what is 100 times that? Because that's what I actually could have made. Like I'm going to look how many people
have a nice dinner for $80. That's an $8,000 dinner. That's an $8,000 dinner that we just paid $80 for. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, so you got the address, guys. Did you say it, Dave? Say it one more time.
It's dumbmoney.tv/bookform. One word, okay. Bookform. Okay. And it looks like, I'm just double checking. Yes, addresses are coming through. Let me count how many of them we have. One, two.
It's like a telethon.
I mean, we probably will sell out right here during the show, and then I want to be able to turn the form off again. How many do we have?
125, roughly, he said. 125
roughly. Okay, so we already have given out 111 of them.
Wow.
So we like literally we're about to run out. So
okay. So that's it. I'm gonna get some rest, guys.
Oh, and your T-shirt. People were wondering about the T-shirt. Oh. That is from our merch store. That was something that we had made for Apple earnings. And there's also a Peloton shirt. And you can find that if you go to dumbmoney.tv. Or just what is it? dumbmoney.tv/merch. You can find all of the all of our fine products, including stickers and our best-selling T-shirts, brand new Peloton one.
All the stuff. All right, guys.
I think we're probably pretty much out. There's a little delay in having them come through the spreadsheet, but yeah, we're at 123, 124, and one more, and I know we're out. So if you're filling out the form right now, we just ran out. So if you're watching the replay of this, don't bother. But if you're watching the replay and have not hit that thumbs up button, you know what to do. Do that, subscribe, bell, follow us everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Podcast.
Discord, podcast.
Shopify.
We are on Shopify, but you'll find us at dumbmoney.tv/merch for our Shopify store.
Spotify, Apple, iTunes, right? We're
on iTunes.
A lot of people love listening. I didn't realize that people would love just listening. I mean, I don't.
The listening
them.
Version is so much better because you can also listen at 1.5 times speed. That's what people like watch the replay is because you can get through all of us talking for at like 2x speed and.
Could it possibly speed you up enough to get through the last half of our show? I don't think so.
Well, we do see a significant drop off right around the time when we're doing what we're doing now.
Right about now.
But look at this. We still have over 1,000 people watching us.
I'm showing 990, but
Well, that's on just YouTube, but you have to realize we're also on Periscope. We're also on Facebook. I think we're on Twitch right now. We usually get like one or two people on Twitch.
Oh, by the way, can I say this and then can we end this episode? It just keeps going.
No, we're doing a telethon.
Pokemon thing happening. Like, I bought a Pokemon pack for charity that's going to get opened up on Saturday. It's first edition, 1999, but not base set. It's like their jungle pack.
Yeah.
But it's still a few $1,000. There are cards in there worth $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. And whatever they open up, they're opening up for dumb money. I am donating it to the same mental illness charity that I donated the first pack to. So we're gonna watch that. We should watch that live. We should do a Saturday show, Dave.
We should.
And watch the show.
Watch the show of the opening live? Like,
can we do that?
I don't see why not. He'd be okay with it, right?
I don't know why he would care if we watched his show on our show, right? I'm sure.
I mean, he has like a million subscribers and we have like what? 15,000?
Yeah. Well, combine our channels.
20,800, Dave.
Hey, we have like 70,000 between the two channels now, Dave. Yeah.
Add in my 40,000 and
There you go.
We almost have ourselves a silver play button.
Yeah. Wait.
I'm looking to see, because I know that the guy that you bought it from, you bought it because he reacted to our opening.
Yeah.
So
he
I was
did
just looking here. Oh yeah, here it is. Yeah. It was one of those that was critical of the guy we were buying it from, but he thought what we were doing was cool. So yeah, Pay Money Wubby is the YouTube channel. He has 962,000 subs.
Yeah, he's a Canadian.
Pay Money
yeah,
Wubby.
Maybe we'll do a little special Saturday deal. Episode.
What time is he doing that? I'll clear my calendar.
I'll find out.
All right.
I'll find out. It'll be fun. And we'll see what cards dumb money gets.
So make sure you subscribe and ring the bell, because that's how you're going to find out when we do the Saturday show. And now, basically, we're doing a show every day.
Maybe, Dave, maybe we should take the first card or the last card that gets opened up in that pack and give it to one of our subs. Maybe we should do that. We'll do that.
Do it during the live show.
Yeah.
Let's think about how we're going to give it away. We'll have some, like, entry mechanism, which is probably we'll tell you to tweet some specific thing to us or something.
Yeah. And so we are going to give away potentially, I think they have $15,000 cards in these packs that you could get.
Let's pick a random number. If they're going to open them up card by card, let's pick a random number during the show to figure out which card we're going to give away. Because I think that there's an order, and one of, you know, like the nicer cards are always at some specific spot in the deck, which is why they split the deck before Yeah, I don't know. I'm learning way too much about Pokemon, but I think when you open the pack, before you start turning the cards over, you split it so that you don't know the order that you're looking.
Okay. So we'll pick like number 7 or something.
We'll pick a random number, and we'll have them tweet or do something to qualify for it, and then we'll give a card to someone.
All right, that's cool. We'll talk about this tomorrow, guys. Maybe tomorrow we'll have a little Pokemon segment. I'm gonna do a little research on the pack he's opening on Saturday. We'll talk about it, and we'll tell you how to see. This is why you need to watch the whole episode. No one else knows about this now except for the people that are still watching. We'll tell you tomorrow how you could potentially win that card that could be 10K plus 20K. Who knows?
That would be amazing. Can you imagine if we gave away a $10,000 card just because we, on a whim, said we would?
That's what makes it fun. It's Pokemon. You have to have fun with it.
Well, we're going to have to spin off and have a whole Pokemon channel. People in the chat want us to do that.
People that watch this whole show, they deserve that. Someone deserves that. Let's do it.
All right. And that is finally, once and for all, going to do it for us. Make sure you do. Smash the button. Subscribe. I've got all the buttons. Follow us on Twitter. Well, that's not our Twitter, but that's us. We're Dumb Money. We'll see you tomorrow.